I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 38. This is one of those portions of God's Word that I have referred to more times than I could ever count over a long period of time in the years that I've served the Lord. Isaiah 38 said, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart." Some translations say an honest heart, an open heart, a sincere heart, a teachable heart. And so he said, "I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. And the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness." I want to give a title to what I'm ministering for this time on how to handle bad news. How to handle bad news. Now that touches a variety of circumstances in people's life. Bad news comes to all of us in one way or another. It could be a doctor's report. It could be financially. It could be problems in the home or the marriage or with a child. There's all kinds of scenarios that we could call your attention. Time after time, we see it, especially through the Old Testament. The bad news was, "King, there's one of us to five of those that are coming against us." And it seemed like God's people were always outnumbered. That's what kept them on their knees. That's what kept them trusting in the Lord. This message is not a complex message. It's so simple that you really have to have outside help to mess it up. It's one of those classics from God's Word that when the pressure is on, you can take this book and slap it right up against Satan's head and speak with authority and power and say, "You might have planned thus and so, but just watch and see what my God will do." King Hezekiah was sick unto death. It's bad enough to be sick. It's been a long time since I have been ill, but I got a hold of some soup or something about 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you, for 2 days, my life was changed and rearranged. You know, you just lose any drive or desire to do anything except just be best friends with that bed. Joy couldn't believe that I was in bed for almost 2 days. That's just not my personality, not my way of doing things. King Hezekiah was not only sick, the Word of God said he was sick unto death. He knew that he was going to die. I mean, this was no secret. He knew that. It was just a matter of time. However, there's always that hope that things will get better. Now, let's move on into this. Isaiah, the accurate prophet, came with this message. I tell you, when an Old Testament prophet walked in and stretched that bony finger out to you, when the man of God came to town, whether it's Elijah, Elisha, or Isaiah, when the man of God said, "Thus saith the Lord," you can just bank on it. It's the way it is. And so Isaiah, the accurate prophet, came with this message from God. And it wasn't a happy message. It wasn't a good message. It was a very challenging message because he said, "Set your house in order, you will die and not live." Now, how many know that's not the best message that you'd like to receive when you're not feeling well? Set your house in order, you will die and not live. Now, there's a little moment of humor there, but you know, what if that was you? What if that was me? I, over the years, have faced many people's lives in this time. And it's not just always a physical thing. It can be this. It can be that. I mean, 24 hours, dreams can fall at your feet. Things can change. Everything in your life can change in 24 hours. Sometimes everything in a person's life can change in 1 hour. But the Bible said in verse 2, then. What you do then is going to determine your course in the future. Then. And there's one thing that I've learned, and I'm still learning it. When you face a then, get a grip. And do some things that I'm going to share with you from God's Word. We can learn from Hezekiah. What you do then sets the course for your future. Then. Hezekiah could have quit. Hezekiah could have thrown up his hands and said, "Well, it's all over." Hezekiah could have chosen to do some other things. In everyone's life, there's going to come some times when some bad news is going to come. It may be real bad news or maybe just not the best. But Hezekiah did something. And I'm crying out to God because I want this generation to know what to do when you receive bad news. You're not a victim of circumstances. You're not a prisoner of hopelessness. When you receive bad news as a believer, it should be said that we've just begun to fight. We've just begun to live. We've just begun to believe God. And if you'll just let me be a literalist tonight, I'm not trying to be complicated with it. Then, set your house in order, you will die and not live. Then, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. You know, in this day and time, that's not as easy as it used to be. Because everywhere you turn your head, there's a television set. I was in one home, they had four television sets in one bedroom. Because when the sports were on, they didn't want to miss anything. Now they have the special televisions that have the divided screens. But I actually was in a home where there were four television sets in the bedroom. Four more than he needed. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Why did he turn his face to the wall? The wall is blank. The wall is bland. The wall is not necessarily a work of art or decorate. Why did he turn his face to the wall? Because he turned his face away from everything and everyone that would contradict God's word and promise to his life. And there are scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that say, in essence, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found. One of the greatest challenges today is literally to do what Hezekiah did. He turned his face to the wall. You've heard me say through the years that I call this moment a moment when he prayed a wall prayer. This was not a religious prayer. This was not a "if it be thy will" prayer. This was not a theological prayer. This man turned his face to the wall and cried out to God. Just like someone would cry out if they were in a burning house and you see the ladder come past the second floor window and there's no exit. And you see the ladder out there and you see firemen. Don't tell me you'd say, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Fireman. If you have time, would you..." No, you would be screaming, you would be crying. And I don't mean, it's not all noise. That's not what I'm saying. But there was a fervency of his heart. The man said, "Nothing in my life makes any difference except hearing from God. Because one word from God will put you over. One word from God will bring you through." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he gave God his 100% attention and faith. He prayed unto the Lord. Now you can look at this in so many different ways. You say, "Well, he sounded a little self-righteous in his prayer." Well, you know, I don't know. It's good to get all that junk out of the way, but somewhere down the line, you have to start praying who you are and what you have in Christ. And he said, "Remember now." See, now. Remember now. It's good to have things in order now. "O Lord, I beseech thee, I cry out to thee, I call upon thee, O God. How I have walked before you in truth." Now I submit to you that Hezekiah wasn't saying, "I'm perfect in everything I've done." But I believe there's a majority of this audience tonight, you're seekers of truth. You want to know what the right thing to do really is. What does God say? You want to go the right direction. You're seekers of truth. None of us have all the truth. None of us perfectly follow in every step of the truth. But if I know what truth is by God's grace and God's help, I'll pursue truth. I knowingly am not going to pursue the opposite of truth. That's called your own ways. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." That's a seeker of truth. And so Hezekiah said, "I have tried to pattern my life and govern my life according to truth." You know, that's not a bad thing to say. I've tried to do the right thing. "And with a perfect heart." Actually, some other translations say with a mature heart or with a sincere heart. I say it quite often. I'm always looking for someone's heart. If I can locate someone's heart. I remember as a little boy going to the doctor, they always want to hear your heart. You know, if you can locate someone's heart, you're pretty well on the journey to getting a reading on that situation. And so he said, "With a perfect heart, I've done that which is good in your sight." Or with a sincere heart. "Lord, it's in my heart to please God." I believe that a high percentage, very high percentage of this audience that are here right now, it's in your heart to please God. If you know what truth is, by God's grace, you'll pursue truth. Because it's in your heart. Your heart is not mean. Your heart is not bad. We do stupid things. We do unwise things. But our heart, God looks on the heart with a perfect heart. And again, I do not see Hezekiah as saying, "I'm the perfect example of everything. Everyone look at me." And, you know, it was not a, as we would say from a New Testament standpoint, a Pharisaical prayer. And then the Bible said that Hezekiah wept sore. Very famous personality who's on the radio at least probably five times a week, went through a very dark time in his life. After surgery, became addicted to pain pills. And that has happened to many people. But I remember after going through rehabilitation, and he just faced it like a man and said, "This is the problem. This is what's happened. We're going to lick it and I'll be back." And the news media is hard pressed. They're so used to handling lies, they don't know how to handle the truth. It freaks them out. I mean, you can tell the biggest whopper, the biggest lie that's ever been told, and they'll say, "Yeah." But when someone speaks truth and someone says, "Hey, this is it. You're right. I blew it. I made a mistake. But I'm going to correct that thing, and I'm going to do what's right, and I'll be back." Well, be that as it may, I remember one of the first things that was said in returning to the airwaves was, "I haven't wept in years, but I have wept." You know, you can get so hardened and so calloused with life that you don't weep, that you're not broken, that you can see some, you know, we see so much stuff on television, we are so desensitized. And let me just throw something else in here. Some stuff came into my hand this past week. If you or your family or you're permitting MTV to be shown in your home, you need deliverance. You need to take a fireman's axe and just put the axe to that television and throw it out for goodwill if they want it. Can't you get enough garbage on regular channels without going to just total dumpster trash? What I'm saying is, thank you. I've told people, they said, "Well, you know, why don't you attend a lot of movies?" I said, "Well, if I find a good movie, I would attend it. It's just kind of hard to come by." But I said, "Why should I pay good money to hear somebody use my God's name in vain? That doesn't make sense." Well, that's not the message tonight, but he prayed unto the Lord. And he wept sore. You know, there needs to be a new brokenness, a new humbling of heart in the body of Christ and in the people of God. We see so many people murdered. I forget how many murders the average person in America sees in a lifetime just on television. In movies, the bloodier it is, the better it sells. The more satanic, the more... Well, you say, "Why do you say that?" Because that's the truth. And some people can't figure it out on their own, so they need a preacher to tell them. Some people need to have my mama around. She cleaned your house out real quick. I mean, the devil would slam the back door and be running down the street. My mama did not put up with satanic foolishness. Hezekiah wept sore. How long has it been since you wept? This news personality, he said, "It's been years since I have wept." Well, I know there's people that weep. They weep about anything and everything. That's not what I'm talking about, the imbalance on the other side. Some people just weeping, you know, they weep about. But I'm talking about something that really affects the heart. Something that really affects the heart. Sometimes I see in a service or I see in ministry, I see people weeping before God. Don't see it a lot, don't see it all the time. But it's always very intriguing to me to see someone that gets so caught up in truth that tears just get involved in that. Well, the Bible said then. Here's another then. Verse 2, there was a then. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. But there's another then in verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying. You know, this is a very unique portion of God's word because, I mean, the prophet of God came with a message of God. And you say, "Well, what happened there?" Well, you see, God knew that there was the possibility of this man. I don't know. There obviously was something that needed to be tweaked in his life. Something needed to be adjusted. There were adjustments somewhere. Something needed to happen there. But God knew that even though the word had come forth, aren't you glad that mercy and grace gives us room to change? Aren't you glad that lightning hasn't struck every time you've missed God? Aren't you glad that lightning hasn't struck every time you did something you shouldn't have done or said something that you shouldn't have said? Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, oh, I'm telling you tonight, if the first then is there in any way, form, or fashion, cry out to God, weep before God, negotiate with God, turn your face to the wall and pray a wall prayer, and there will be another then that will come to your life. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Let me tell you, the word of the Lord is so precious. You know what that word was? He came to the prophet Isaiah and he said, go and say to Hezekiah. Verse 5. I'm still in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. What? Yeah. The God of David thy father. Since you got the first then, you've done some praying. You've done some negotiating. You've turned the switch of faith on. God in his mercy, whatever the adjustment needed to be. From the first then to the second then, something has happened. God said, I've heard your prayer. Aren't you glad that God hears our prayer? I have heard your prayer. I'm talking about how to handle bad news. When bad news comes, is it hopeless? Is it helpless? Is there no second opinion? I mean, is there nothing else that can happen? Sometimes it's the only way God can get our attention. Does God send bad things? No. But you get out under the umbrella, you'll get wet just like anyone else. Stay under the umbrella, you have the protection of the umbrella. So he said, I've heard your prayer. And isn't this interesting? God not only heard his prayer, God said, I have seen your tears. God knows the language of tears. One great old Baptist preacher of years gone by, he said, there's a language of the soul that breaks the back of words. Words cannot convey what is really flowing out of the spirit. It's groanings, sometimes which cannot be uttered. Praying in the Spirit, it's travailing before God. Have you ever just prayed until you prayed everything in you out? You felt like you were just absolutely drained of everything that should not be, and you were there in the presence of God. Folks, we need more experiences like that. We need more experiences like that. It's not the only way to pray, but there are times when that's the only thing that's going to make a difference. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I was an associate minister. I never will forget. A young evangelist came through from Nashville. He should have stayed in Nashville at the feet of someone to teach him something. But it's the thing that we've seen in the ministry. You make a superstar out of somebody overnight, overexpose them, and it just overwhelms them. And they're not ready. Their character's not ready. Their faith is not ready. They don't have a Bible knowledge. That's where people get into goofy stuff. They're pushed out too quickly. I know some people don't agree with that, but I've been in the ministry longer than most people at this point. But the man came through. We had a marvelous meeting in that church. Marvelous, powerful meeting. We saw people come to the Lord. We saw the power of God. We saw people set free. I mean, we saw a mighty move of God. But just like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, I saw something begin to turn in this man. And I don't know why he thought he had a listening ear in me, but he said, you know, I've got this church right where I want it. He said, I'm going to split this church right down the middle. And he said, I'm going to start my own church. And I want you to come with me. And I thought, man, I thought you were a little sharper than that. Amen. This is where God put me. This is where God placed me. Amen. And In fact, it was a very, very intense time. I don't know that I've ever faced a time just exactly like that. One of the few times I ever saw my father-in-law was a very strong man. He said, "Son, I'm leaving town for a few days." I said, "Thanks a lot. You know, just carry on." Brother, I'll never forget the night I went to that auditorium. The auditorium is still standing. Spent the night in prayer. Wept until I couldn't weep anymore. Prayed until I didn't have a voice, really, not much of a voice. Cried out to God. Humbled my heart. Spoke the word of God. And I'm telling you, when the sun came up the next morning, there was an assurance in my heart, everything's going to be okay. I had too much sweat equity in where God had called me. I didn't want to see something hurt, something that I'd been a partner in and been a team member in and all of that. And you know, God brought us through. You've always got a few folks that can't figure out what's happening, and there were a few folks, but God brought the church through, and God brought us through, and God brought a great victory out of that. Probably somebody else praying. There might have been three other women praying in the back room. I don't know, but I know that God called my heart to pray, and I saw God turn that. See, God said, "I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. How do you handle bad news?" And he went on to say, "Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years. Now, the last word we got from God is, set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. Do you think 15 years sounds like a good message? How's that for a second then, for a second opinion? 15 years will be added to your life. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. See, here's the thing with the average believer. I mean, something falls apart. First thing they do is get on the phone. First thing they do is talk to their flaky friend or get with somebody that doesn't know what time of day it is and ask their advice or go back to their ungodly family. You know, this is the one that blows my mind, how a born-again, spirit-filled believer will turn to someone who may love them, but they have no spiritual understanding, and just pour their heart out to someone that doesn't have a clue. Listen, folks, we need accurate, God-anointed, Holy Ghost-anointed counsel and wisdom in all of our lives. And notice in verse 6, he said, oh, are you ready for this? You see, there's so much more than what we just got in. The first then says you're going to die and you're not going to live. Second then says, okay, you're going to live and you're going to live 15 years. But now the rest of the story. Hallelujah. Now the rest of the story. What is the rest of the story? I'm glad you asked. Because God said in the 6th verse, I will deliver thee. Okay, thank you, Lord. That's all I need to know. I'm out of here. God said he was going to deliver me. But God said more than that. See, God has more in mind than you coming out of your situation. God has more in mind than you getting your victory, than you getting your financial breakthrough. God has more in mind than just you and your four being blessed. He said, I will deliver thee and this city. God, through his anointing, is equipping us to be city changers. Oh, get a hold of this. I will defend this city. I will deliver this city, he said, out of the hand of the king of Assyria, a very evil king. A very evil power. And you know, you look around today. Hey, let's say it like it is. We need more fear of God in the United States of America than I see in evidence right now. I thank God for what I do see. This is not a flesh and blood battle. We need to be informed. We need to know what time of day it is. We need to know the issues. We need to seek out righteous issues and vote righteously. But I'm telling you, if the church doesn't pray, we're going to find ourselves in a, I'm talking about the body of Christ. If the church doesn't pray, we're going to find ourselves in a dilemma. I mean, God Almighty pulled this last election thing. I mean, God pulled that thing through. You say, well, half is half. Well, I'll take a righteous half. I'll take a righteous half any day. Give me some righteous people. Give me some people that love God. Give me some people that want the will of God in the nation. We'll make it. But God said, I will deliver thee and this city. Oh, church, get a hold of this. God has more in mind than getting you out of a tight place. God's promise is to deliver our city. Praise God. Out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And God said, I'll not only deliver this city, I will defend this city. I've said it for years. There's only one reason the United States of America has not been blown sky high. We don't have enough policemen. There's no way to police our borders. There's no way to totally police our shorelines. I mean, let's face it. This nation is very vulnerable. But there happens to be an inscription on our currency and in our coins that says, in God we trust. And I believe it's that simple yet profound inscription that God has honored over and over and over again. Whether we always do or not, at least it's a statement of faith. It's on our currency. It's on our coins. In God we trust. Well, we found out that five men can shake the economy. Well, actually a sixth with their boss that we haven't found yet. Can you believe that 9/11 rearranged the finances of the whole wide world? There is not one nation, probably except for Switzerland, who has the bank account of all these characters. There's hardly one nation that was not shaken to its foundations. Our major airlines almost crumbled. Our finances, all investments. I'm telling you, it's the grace of God. But just a few demented minds and crashing into the towers, and America is shaken. Yes, we came back. Yes, it woke up a sleeping giant. But folks, don't kid yourself. Our strength is not, thank God for our army. Don't decrease our army. But our strength is not in our policemen. Our strength is not in our army. Our strength is not in our air force. Thank God for a strong military and a strong protection force. But our strength is in God. The Lord is the strength of our life. The Lord is the strength of our life. There is no other reason why this nation has not been blown sky high. You can't put enough border patrol out there to keep the borders safe. You can't do it. There's too much wasteland. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to come in from Canada. I mean, it's been published. You say, are you revealing something? No, that's widely known. But I tell you, as long as America has a core of people that trust in God and will call upon God and cry out for revival and cry out for the moving of God's Holy Spirit, God will keep our nation. God will help us. Praise be unto the Lord. God said, I will deliver you. I'll deliver this city and I'll defend this city. And God went on to say, I'm going to show you a sign and a wonder. Church of the living God, get ready. I said, Church of the living God, get ready. God said, I'm going to show you a sign and a wonder. In history, it has never been recorded. This is the only time that it was ever recorded. And scientists, they tell me, can date back and find there was a time when there was a 10-degree change and no one's ever understood it until they read the Bible and read this particular account. God said, I'll turn the sundial back 10 degrees. How can you do that, God? I'm boss. I created it. He is the Lord of hosts. He is El Shaddai. He is Almighty God. And you know, when you look at your big old problems and all the things that are facing you, Don't become overwhelmed. Remember, we serve the God who said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, and there was, and there was, and there was. One word from God can change a nation. One word from God can change a city. One word from God can change a church. One word from God can change each of our lives. Praise be unto the Lord. So he said that the sundial will return 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. And the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah. When he had been sick. When at one time he had bad news. When at one time there was no way. When at one time everything seemed hopeless. When at one time there was no way out, there was no exit, there was no help, there was no hope. When he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Oh, there's hope, child of God. Had been sick. How many had-beens can you call out in this service? The time when you had been there, you had been sick. You had been in that situation or some similar situation, but now you're recovered. Because I serve the God that answers by fire. I said I serve the God that answers by fire. I serve the God that doesn't worry about counting. Lord, the prophet of God, there's only two of us, and look at all of that host. He said, son, you don't understand. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. If you ever lose that hope, I mean, the wolves of the pack will close in on you. I read a story up in cold country in the mountains of the moose. The only way that a wolf can bring a moose down is when a moose just gets tired of living. Wolves can't handle, I mean, they're quick. They can move quick. But wolves have a way of wearing the big animals down. And it's only when the wolves pick up, isn't that something? When they pick up that this big guy is tired of living and he doesn't want to fight anymore and he's about to lose his fight, then the pack closes in. Oh, I'm after something. I'm after something. I'm after something. Praise God. Praise God. No wolf can bring you down. No wolf pack can destroy you. No wolf pack can put you out of business. No wolf pack can stop what God's doing in your life until you just get that, well, I'm just tired of fighting. Tired of fighting? Come on. Get a grip. Get a life. Tired of fighting? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, I've got to give you this. Praise God. You say, well, how do you handle bad news? Well, remember, it may not be true, or it may not be half as bad as it seems. Oh, I could write a book on that one. Could write several books. So you got some bad news. Well, first of all, it may not be true. But if it is true, it may not be half as bad as you thought it was. Number two, don't panic with rash words and thoughts. Watch your words and put a padlock on your heart, your thought life. Thirdly, turn to God. Go to God. Get a word from God in your spirit. Turn to God. Go to God. Get a word from God in your spirit. Fourth insight that I'd give you. Know that the first report is not the last report. And know that the last report is not the last report when your faith is in God. Do what you can, but keep your trust in God. You know, some people do nothing and call that trusting God. Disease is radical. You better be more radical than the disease that's trying to come against you. I said disease is radical. Satan is radical. And when he tries to come in, he comes in with all he can do. Yes, you know, I often tell people, hey, judge yourself. Judge your diet. Judge your exercise. Keep a positive faith attitude. In other words, do what you can do, but keep your trust in God. And you know, you've got to find your own faith level in things. You know, some people just think, act like a doctor's or the mark of the beast. I tell you, doctors are doing a lot more to save people's lives than most preachers are. Seriously, we need a new wave of the healing power, the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church today. We need that with all that is within us. Do what you can do, but keep your trust in God. To ignore it does not mean that it goes away. To ignore sin does not mean that it goes away. To ignore doing what you can do. Well, I could stay there, but you know, there's a practical side to the Word of God. Another insight is leave things of lesser value behind. In other words, people, things, pictures, voices. Leave things of lesser value behind. Focus on what builds your faith in God. You know, if you knew you had 24 hours to live, don't tell me you'd be watching trash, listening to trash, and talking to trash people. You'd probably ride this prayer area right here and just say, you can shut out the doors, you can turn off the lights, you can turn off the heat or the air conditioning. I'm going to be here. I'm going to spend some time in God's presence. That could be one way. But leave things of lesser value. Boy, we need to get our priorities. Where are our priorities? And then finally, go on a word and praise the Lord marathon. Praise the Lord. Remember in 2 Chronicles 20, praise singers went out into the battle and said, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Have you lost it? You've been going to church too much. Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. Excuse me, sir, would you just look out? The enemy has gone. And we win. Maybe there's something to this. So let me sing with you. Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. Just a few insights. Remember, it may not be true or it may not be half as bad as it seems. Oh, don't panic with rash words and thoughts. Turn to God. Go to God. Get a word from God in your spirit. Know the first report's not the last report, and the last report is not the final report. Do what you can do, but keep your trust in God. Hallelujah. Know your own faith level. It's not time to bluff. It's time to know where you are, and it's time to move as God leads you to move. Then leave things of lesser value behind. People, pictures, voices, stuff. Focus on what really builds your faith in God.